Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 200 of MMT Millennial Movie Talk.
I thought I clicked it.
I am one of your hosts, Braden, joined, as always, by the wonderful Alex.
Hello.
And the wonderful Michael.
Hello.
How are you doing, lads?
Good. Better.
200 episodes.
Yes. And Alex is back. He's not sick.
Yeah, Alex is back. That means we can talk new movies that have come out. There is one new movie that came out this week, and I was curious to see if I would see it on your letterbox at all. Anyone,
what was it?
Anyone wanting to check out Renfield?
Not out in cinemas, is it? Yeah.
I thought it came out last week.
Probably in the US, but not here.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. I'm actually looking forward to that one. It looks fun.
Yeah.
Can I buy a ticket to Renfield?
Can we buy tickets to Renfield? Just because I only just found out the other day that Ben Schwartz also plays a bad guy in it. And it looks very silly.
We can buy tickets to Mario, John Wick, Dungeons and Dragons, Air, the Pope's Exorcist.
Oh, okay. Until then, I was going to say we can talk about all those movies, but I don't think...
Scream, you can still get tickets for Shazam. Not today, but maybe you can get a ticket to Shazam tomorrow. I believe there's one set. Yep, there's 1 o'clock for Shazam tomorrow.
Oof.
It's probably because you can buy it on VOD now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I kicked it out pretty quick.
Yeah, bless.
Pretty quick. You can get... There's more sessions for the...
I will say, some of those new movies I caught up on.
And I went, Mafia Mama.
I went with my pa and went and saw John Wick, Chapter 4.
Do you like it?
It's a good time.
It is. He falls down a lot of stairs.
So many stairs.
He should be dead, right? That man should be dead.
Well, straight up. Like,
it's just
spoilers for John Wick 4, by the way. Sorry, Rip. Yeah. If you haven't seen John Wick 4. He should be dead. He is dead.
Yeah. Great ending, though.
I'm glad he died.
Yeah, I really thought that was a really good ending.
Yeah.
That whole sequence of the duel and everything's great.
Yeah, I'm just glad he's dead.
Yeah, because I don't know if I need any more John Wick stuff in my life, but hey, guess what?
Did you stay for the post-credits?
The Continental coming up, and yeah, the post-credits there as well.
I think I'm excited to see more of the world like this.
Yeah.
The Continental show released their trailer.
Yeah, now, does it look any good?
Well, I haven't watched the trailer, but from what I heard, it looks like that the creators of John Wick are not creating, are
they're
not behind the camera.
Nowhere near it?
Yeah, it very much looks like it's like the director of John Wick has nothing to do with it.
Oh, yikes.
Well, that's not ideal. Okay. I didn't realize there was a trailer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the type of thing that you either want the creative team to be like all over it, or you want their approval on it with someone radically different and they're doing something radically different in it.
Like Peacemaker having his own show off.
Yeah. That's good. But that makes sense because it was like it's the same creative team and everything.
Yeah.
But like,
that's why it was good.
Yeah. I don't know if I need any more John Wick after that. That was a long movie.
It was. It was a big thing.
Do you like the top-down fight scene?
That was by far the standout of that entire film.
The fire shotgun's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the Dragon's Breath shotgun.
Yeah.
My God. But yeah, that sequence was incredible. Just what a feat. That looks so good. The coats fucking made me giggle every time.
It's so funny.
It's very funny. But no, it was a good
thing. Do you like the doorbell fight scene?
Doorbell. Oh yeah, that was a bit of fun, wasn't it? Yeah. When are we gonna let Donnie Yen just like be able to see?
Dude,
why
I'm
is he gonna
sure
be blind in every film?
It's because he's one with the Force.
Because he is blind, Brad.
He is one with the Force, and the Force is with him.
Confirmed, Donnie Yen blind.
God damn, Donnie Yen is actually blind. Only he's been acting like he can see.
Where the issue?
God damn. But yeah, that was a bit of fun. Donnie Yen's always good. I do just wish he could just play a character who can see because he can, so
because you can, yeah,
because he can, but
it's more,
you know what?
Yeah, good he's for him. Overacting,
yeah. The club scene as well was obviously great.
That guy was the best boss, by the way.
Oh my God, what a boss! Absolutely nuts. How are you? What are you doing, Alec?
He's counting.
What is he counting?
Can you guess how? You heard me say the final number, right?
No.
No?
Cool. Can you guess how many sessions there are for the Super Mario Brothers movie at Hoyt's tomorrow?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to say it's up near 20 because that seemed at how far you count.
Yeah, you were talking for a long time. Yeah. Can I go like 18?
25.
Oh.
God damn.
Yeah.
That 9:30, movie 10, is making 10, 30, so 11, much money.
11:45, 12, 12. Yeah, there's like, well, it's getting to the point where there's like four sessions within the hour.
Jesus.
So, practically one every 15 minutes.
Pretty much. When you get down to like 12 o'clock, it's like 12, 12:15, 12:45, 1, 1:30, 2, 2:15, 2:30, 3, 3:15, 4, 4:15.
That film has broken all sorts of records and is making absolute bank.
Wasn't very good though.
No, let's talk about that. Super Mario Bros. The movie brought to us by Illumination Studios, the team behind Despicable Me and Minions. They somehow got Nintendo to be like, yep, go nuts.
Let's do it. You touched briefly on it last week.
I did touch briefly on it last week. Much. I said it's fun. I said it's pretty brainless.
It's like the movie, it's, you know, you don't have to use 1% of your brain.
No.
To watch the movie.
Not at all.
It is a kids' movie, after all.
To me,
but
okay,
kids' movies can be really good.
You hate this argument?
I hate this argument that because it's a kids' film means it has to be fucking brainless. No. Coco, Toy Story, Inside
That's
Out.
Fair, yeah.
All right. Disney have been proven for years you can make quality kids' films. Puss in Boots recently did it. It's not just Disney. Everyone can do it.
Yeah.
This movie was just, it really felt like executives making a movie. It felt like they went, okay, we have to have the Super Smash bit. We have to have the Mario Kart bit.
Yeah. But it was also based on like a test audience of like 4-year-olds.
Yeah. It was literally, to me, it was just them. It was just like, oh, we want these big things in it. And then kind
they
of
had
just try
no
and
idea
build
how
the
to
connect
thing.
Them.
How to put the plot together at all.
Yeah.
There's little to no plot in there whatsoever. None of it really makes any sense.
And I have to disagree with you on something from last week, Braden.
Oh, what's this?
Did not like Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong.
No, you did not?
No. Nah, I thought everyone else was pretty much spot on. Except for Seth Rogen.
Oh,
okay. The only time it threw me was when it just zoomed in on his face and did the Seth Rogen laugh. If it didn't have the Seth Rogen laugh, I was fine with him because he was playing him as this big, like, douchebaggy asshole and, like, entitled, like, prick. And I was like, yep, I'm down for it. He's doing a good job of that.
Jack Black as Bowser, we all know the song now.
Yes, it's top 100 Billboard charting.
Yeah. So we all know that he's pretty much born to play this role.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the whole, like, if it wasn't Jack Black paying Bowser, like, that scene wouldn't have existed.
No, it wouldn't have. It would not work at all.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me.
I thought Chris Pratt was fine.
Yeah.
Although I have to fact check you, Braden.
Oh, here we go.
At the beginning of last week, you said it was Chris Pratt and Charlie Day doing the Mario and Luigi voices in the beginning.
At the start?
Yeah, it wasn't. It was the original. It was the original people doing it. They're also in the film.
Oh, it was Charles Martinet and someone else.
Yeah, so the voice.
That's why it was so good.
The voice, because they voice them there. In the commercial, they voice them.
Yeah.
And then the guy that voices Mario also
plays
Mario's
dad.
Yeah,
he's next to the Jumpman cabinet at the start. They turn around.
Yeah.
He does the little wahoo.
And he's Mario's dad in the actual movie.
That makes sense.
I agree. The dog scene at the beginning was extremely Illumination.
Oh my God. It just oozed Minions all over.
Yeah. That oozed Minions and Secret Life of Pets.
Oh God. Yeah. They did Secret Life of Pets too, didn't they?
Yeah. So that was when I was watching that. I was like, this is an hour and a half.
And it's right at the start of the film and it takes up so much. And you're like, come on, what's going on?
Because that was my thing. I thought that we didn't get to spend a lot of time anywhere.
They don't develop anyone.
I agree with the music playing Thunderstruck.
Yep.
When they build the carts was unnecessary.
Yep.
And as well as, did they play Take On Me?
Yep.
At one point? Okay. And then there was one more where they play the Kill Bill thing. At the beginning. All very unnecessary. You said, I agree with you. Nintendo has such a catalog of
incredible score music. And they did such a good job of adapting it for the film. Yeah. Like, there's sequences in there that have the orchestral score of the Nintendo like stuff, and it's
Didn't they also just do things for their phones, do the da-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, I did like all those little references and stuff. Like, they're quite fun.
We didn't stay to the end of the credits. There was a post-credit scene.
What was the end? Oh, that the joke Yoshi of egg. A post-credit scene, my God.
The Yoshi egg.
That was nothing.
No,
I wish I had left. Michaela and I were sitting there, and that happened, and it went black, and we just went, oh, wow, that was a waste of time. Yeah.
So, look, it was fun.
Like, visually stunning.
You cannot be bored in it.
You're not bored.
Yeah, it looks incredible. There. Incredible. Yeah.
Oh my God. I wish they would do I wish Illumination were a trailer company. I wish they just made trailers for things.
At the end of the day though, it's like if they weren't these characters, I wouldn't have cared at all.
Oh no, you have to care about these characters based on your history with them in video games.
I didn't exactly, because the movie does nothing to make you care about these characters, because they know it's Mario and you're probably going
to
care.
Yeah. The closest they get to it is Mario's family bully him a bit. And Mario's need to prove myself. And then they shoehorn the fact that they somehow end up back in normal New York, so that his family can watch him be Mario from the video game Mario.
Which felt very much like the end of Sonic.
I'm going to shoot you not. It's the exact same as the Super Mario Bros. Movie from back in the 90s. They come back to New York and they actually fight in New York. It was just, and yes, it does feel like Sonic.
Yeah, so I think I gave it 2.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Very middle of the road.
It's mid.
I probably would never watch it again.
Yeah, no, I'm not seeking it out anytime soon.
Would like to see if they really make an effort and make a decent sequel.
That's the thing. I think this has a lot of potential. I think their direction for this, as if this is what they want to be, a first film in like an MCU, Mario Cinematic Universe, or an NCU, Nintendo Cinematic Universe, like, you really should not have jumped and done as much as you tried to cram in an hour 30.
That's the thing. They cram so much in this movie.
So much. And it just gave nothing time to, like you said, nothing actually developed at all.
There was no room to breathe anywhere.
No. And if you want to develop this world, because let's admit, like, the visuals of Illumination and like perfect for Nintendo stuff. Like, they have Mario so much.
And Donkey Kong get swallowed by a big fish. They did, didn't they?
Yeah, that's an entire sequence that is so forgettable. There's a lot.
Yeah.
You said that and it opened the part of my brain that remembers parts of the movie.
I'm just trying to remember what happened in the film.
There's the Wizard Cooper in drag. Yep.
There's the blue shell reference.
Yep. Well, I mean, all the Mario Kart stuff and all the Smash Bros. Sort of references and teasers and stuff. Like, I feel like they needed to pull back a little bit on this one so that they could build it up a bit.
Yeah.
And I would love to see them take on, I think there's possibly talks or something of Legend of Zelda and stuff. And their visuals would fit that really well.
They could make a really good Star Fox movie.
Oh,
Star
Fox would be sick.
Star Fox would be a great one to do.
Yeah, but then they're gonna have a sequence where Star Fox in his training academy has to fight a little alien in a bathroom and get stuck in a toilet for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
Illumination.
Yeah,
last week where everyone wanted a Mario movie made by Illumination, but it was an Illumination movie starring Mario.
Sorry, team.
But
well. Rip.
What?
Whatever. The stream just is dead for half the week now. For half the this episode.
Oh, is it just some reason, absolutely wrecked?
No, there's no sound for some reason.
Fun.
I've never had to do this before, but I had to go change the mixer to be the stream mixer this week. Whereas we do this many, many weeks with this setup, and we never do that before.
Huh.
Interesting.
So if you're just listening to this now, hello, you've gone 16 minutes with no sound, and you're still here?
Hmm. Interesting. Classic.
Live chat would be interesting if I ever looked at live chat. Hey, we can't hear you.
Yeah, from my dad being like, hey, your audio is not busted.
That's interesting.
We trim the episode and, hey, if you're just joining us on the YouTube VOD, you can find the start of the podcast on your podcast service of choice. And for the audio listeners out there, you chose the right week to be an audio listener. Because it's way too much effort for us to go back and re-upload and re-download all the video and take all that. So we don't get paid.
What's going on? Shit's going on.
Happy episode 200, everyone.
Now I've just got my computer telling me that OBS disconnected.
Well, I don't know how, because you're using OBS in
right,
Discord.
We're here.
Yeah, I can still see.
Yeah, so nothing makes sense. Is your computer about to implode?
I don't know.
Oh, I can hear myself now.
Okay, no, so we're still coming through YouTube. Anyway, this is, hello.
This was
whatever.
A tech corner. This was a palate cleanser after the Mario movie discussion.
Fucking hell. Sorry.
Alex, let's refresh. Let's jump back. You've seen a couple new movies as well in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I got to remember because it's been a week since I watched anything.
Yeah. So one of them involves Taron Egerton and a Russian video game.
Tetris almost 3 weeks ago. And from what I remember, Tetris was solid. It was an interesting story, filled with some twists and some turns that made it more interesting because it's a true story. About how they had to go and fight the KGB for the rights to Tetris on console.
Yeah.
Okay. Because apparently there was like the arcade rights, there was the PC rights, there was the console rights, and there was a lot of contract talk in this movie.
Yeah.
A lot of weaseling, a lot of hustling, a lot of
paperwork shuffling.
Yeah, a lot of definitions of why. Yeah, a lot of contract talk as to why maybe we can have the Russians give, because obviously in Russia communism,
in Russia communism, that is is true.
And so back then the original creator of Tetris literally got nothing for what he did. He was just a software engineer living in a shitty home. And in the movie, even though Tetris has been a hit in other places, he's still a software engineer living in a shitty home, working his day job.
Mm-hmm.
Because the profits of Tetris go to the state and not him. Anyway, so they do some cool, fun little visual things where they present a lot of stuff in 8-bit. Some establishing shots are in 8-bit. There's a car chase which incorporates a bit of 8-bit into like scenes with car crashes and that.
Interesting.
A lot of fun. Bit of fun. Taron Egerton can play anything. He's so likable.
Yeah, Taron Egerton's just one of those actors who does the acting.
Mm. And I thought this was pretty solid. 4 out of 5. Enjoyed it.
Nice. And you did go see another film.
Saw a
which
new
also
one.
Involved contracts.
It also involved contracts. Ford v Ferrari came out a few years ago and we like had your dad's two favorite actors in it with Matt Damon and Christian Bale. And it was the ultimate dad movie ever.
Very dad.
Everyone's dad
movie.
Loved it. And then Ben Affleck went, well, I want to make another ultimate dad movie.
Yep.
So I'm going to go just get all of your dad's favorite actors. Yep. And he did. So we got, Christian just messaged me.
Oh. Is he woken up?
Yeah, he has woken up. Yeah,
you can tell though, because legitimately, my dad was like, "Hey, do you want to go see that that Air? Air looks good."
So Christian's coming. tell him to record Audacity before he joins.
Yes, I'll do that right now.
Okay, so. Well, good. He missed all the boring stuff that he doesn't really care about. Air. I really liked Air. I'm trying to remember what happened in Air. I gave it 4.5 out of 5. So
you should remember more.
Oh, it was just really interesting. Did you guys know that in the NBA, I'm sure you guys did, because I only learned that this stopped being a rule in 2014. Mm-hmm. That the basketball shoes have to be predominantly white.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. Hello.
Did you know that was a rule?
I knew there were a lot of rules regarding the color and shape of shoes.
There's always been like a lot of. I don't think I specifically knew that they had to be predominantly white, but I knew that they changed the rule and.
Yeah. Mm. So they agreed to pay all the fines for Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
If he wore this shoe.
I do remember hearing that. Yeah.
So I learned that. I also learned that he was the first person ever to get royalties per sale from the shoes.
Yeah.
And his mum pretty much hooked that all up.
Oh yeah. Good work, Mrs. Jordan.
So yeah, she did all that. And then it you know, he earned something like in the first year they projected that they were like, oh well, the most one of our shoes has ever sold in a year has been like $3 million, so you know, if he gets a percentage of that, he might get like a mil at the most.
Mm.
And then the ending just comes up with Air Jordan sold $174 million in its first year. It's very funny.
That's
Ben Affleck's great, Matt Damon's great, Jason Bateman's great, Chris Tucker's great. It's nice seeing Chris Tucker in movies again.
Yeah, wow, that's been a while.
Yeah, Rush Hour 4. yeah, it's just got everyone's dad's favorite actors. I know my family, all the old white men in my family, me including, are big fans of Bateman, Matt Damon, and Ben Affleck. So you know, you got the powerhouse trio of your dad's faves.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And yeah. Really solid movie, really interesting. Utilized its 80s, late 80s setting really well with the soundtrack and the music.
Nice.
And all around good vibes.
Very nice. Very nice.
Love it.
And I wore my Air Jordans to go see it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then I found out that I paid Michael Jordan some money when I bought them.
Hell yeah.
Oh, he makes a lot of money.
He's gotten some bills.
Yeah.
He'd rather go to Michael Jordan than to Nike.
Yeah.
That is true. Welcome, Chris, to the call.
Yes, I'm here. Hello. I just splashed my face with some water and I'm awake and I'm alive.
There he is. He's back, here. Ladies and gentlemen.
Chris, you're lucky because we haven't spoken about the things that you wanted to talk about yet.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good because there's something we've been needing to discuss because someone else has seen something.
Ooh. Yeah. Does anyone else want to say stuff quickly, interject in the middle? Oh, wait, are you talking about, what are you talking about, Succession or the other thing?
Succession.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the other thing?
I got to destroy Michael and why.
Ah, yes.
Oh, my Drew duties. No.
Yes, we need to talk about this.
I don't need you to open me up again.
So last week, I don't know if anyone missed the episode. Alex was sick, so Alex wasn't on the episode. It was audio only. And we were treated to a little discussion about a TV show called Jury Duty between Michael and Chris.
And I was listening to this conversation, grinding my teeth. Because, you have to listen to someone just, like, I don't know, give their opinion, I guess.
Well, when Michael brought it up, I was thinking, oh, like, Alex has been into this. Like, I'm sure they've both spoken about this. You know, they've been talking about it, sounds like. You know, they're both watching it.
Well, I only messaged you because you're a big fan of Nathan For You. I'm like, this has got very Nathan For You vibes.
Mm.
Because, Michael, you didn't talk about the greatest part of the show being James Marsden not wanting to be on the jury so bad that he stages paparazzi.
I thought I did bring up the paparazzi.
No. But then when he finds out he's an alternate juror, he's so jealous that he's not on the jury. Because he becomes an alternate juror, and he's like, they're like, oh, you have to stay for the whole trial, but you're not really a part of it. And at one point, someone has an accident, and they get taken off the jury. And he's like, oh, you know, I guess it's my turn to step up and be a part. And they choose the other guy. And he's just so sad.
Oh, my God.
It's just so funny. He just goes from not wanting to be on it just to desperately trying to be a part of it. And, like, amazing. At one point, they're trying to choose the four person. And he's like, I'll do it. It'll be me. And they're like, oh, you're an alternate. Alternates can't be the four person. He just gets so sad.
Oh, my God.
I need to give it some more. I need to watch some more episodes.
I fact checked Braden. I got to fact check you now. Not a remake of an old show.
Oh, isn't it?
There is an old show with the same name.
Oh.
They are very different.
Okay. There you go.
This show, they found the most genuine funny guy to do. They really locked out with Ronald here.
This is the real person.
That's the thing. But the way he, like, the amount he piss take in the first two episodes with shit just makes it seem like he's on board with it. It's like, he's funny, but it just makes it seem like he's on board.
He's just a real guy. When he tells James, like, he recognizes James Marsden, James Marsden's like, oh, isn't that film Sonic? And he was just like, oh, you're in the film Sonic? And he and James Marsden's like, yeah. And then he goes, I heard that movie wasn't good.
Oh, you should have seen James Marsden's face.
James Marsden just gets so sad. And then the next day he comes and he goes, James, man, I humble myself before you. I watched Sonic last night. It was fire, bro. And he's just like, you didn't tell me that Ben Schwartz was the voice of Sonic. And James Marsden gets really offended that he's talking up Ben Schwartz and not him. Like, he's visibly upset that he's talking about Ben Schwartz. That's kind of
so genuine as well.
And then James Marsden's like, when you watched Sonic, did you rent it or did you buy it? And he's like, I watched it in Hulu. He's just like, oh, if you rented or bought it, you would have given me a bit of money.
Oh, my God. Good on James Marsden for playing it like
that. It's so funny that he's just there. And, like, they get up and James is trying to convince the jury that he should be let off because he'd be a public distraction. And he's just like, yeah, this guy here, you know, he's a big fan. He recognized me. He's talking about Ronald. And Ronald's just like, yeah, I knew him from X-Men and that. And then the next scene, James Marsden's just like, bro, you never leave with X-Men. When you say X-Men, they think of Jackman.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Jeez. Oh, that's
yeah,
good.
I think that, because that's what I said immediately. Like, the judge would excuse a famous person from the jury immediately.
But then James Marsden's come out and it's been like, I've been on the jury before. Like, wow. So I
mean, he's not exactly a AAA celebrity.
No, not to Ronald. And then the other part is that I think you stopped watching before episode 3, Michael.
Yeah, no, I haven't continued. I do need to give it some more because I do want to see how they go once the trial actually starts, because that's what I want.
Well, because in the later episodes, like, he starts predicting everything. He's just like, you know, I called it, like, you know, something weird was going to happen and then we're going to be delayed till the next day. He's like, he's feeling like a reality show at this point. And all the other people, because they interview them all together and all of them just go quiet. So, yeah, but in episode 3, we're introduced to another character a bit more who I think Michael spoke about last week. He comes in with chair pants.
All the gadgets.
He is so funny. He's very much Nathan Fielder. He's very much a Nathan Fielder persona where, you know, he's got his canteen and he talks about how if it was up to him, humans would have a reservoir built into their body for water consumption. And then he's got one for solid food. And then he comes in with his chair pants. And then it cuts to him and Ronald on the weekend. And Ronald's like, yeah, you know, I'm really trying to get him to come out of his shell. And, like, you know, I showed him A Bug's Life. And, like, A Bug's Life's a movie about a bug that's trying to bring technology into the world, and I really feel like that's what he's trying to do. And he's like, and I just want to show him that some people might treat you differently if you try to do that. And he's just so genuine and nice.
Oh my God, man. What a nice dude.
What is it in the first?
He gets it.
The one part I remember giggling at in the first episode. What does he tell the person, the dude? To get out of it, he says, "I'm a racist."
Yeah, so
and he's just sitting there trying not to giggle because he's told this dude to tell, say, "Oh." I'm
so my favorite part about that is that they revealed after that was actually a part of, a, like, because obviously, oh fuck, my camera just fell.
Oh boy, here we go.
Ah.
Oh no.
All right, I'll talk while trying to fix it. So they revealed that when they were doing that, that was like some things are like scripted and like they got beats to hit and they just got to get there with him.
Yeah.
And so that was a beat that they were going to hit that this one of them was going to try and get out because they're racist. And then he just suggested that because he saw it on an episode of Family Guy.
Oh my God. Wow.
And,
what a just yeah. chill dude.
Okay. Now, look. Thinking back, there's another funny part is when they're sliding the notes under the door when they first get to
that's
the hotel.
So funny. No, it what's funny about that is how that guy interacts with Bailiff Nikki.
Oh,
And how he just stands behind her and she's like, "You got to stop doing that. You're a creepy guy."
She's like, just go. Did she tell him to go through the door or something? And he goes all the way behind
her. Yeah, like, he's like, "Look, we got a joining, like a connecting door." He's like, "I devised a series of signals. For us, one knock means I'm going to bed. Two knock means I have food. Would you like some?" It's just funny. I really enjoy it. They bring out 2 episodes a week. The latest episodes were very good. I'm surprised James Marsden's in as much as he is. Mm. Another funny part about it is that they have to, I think it's seconda or no, they have to separate the jury so that they are isolated with no like outside distractions.
Yep.
And it's because of James Marsden. They have to, because of the paparazzi, they all have to go and live in a hotel for a week and everything.
Yeah,
no phones,
nothing, and it's all because of James Marsden. And then James Marsden comes there, he goes, "I've spoken to my lawyer, and they allow me to go home." and it's funny, just their reaction to like him. All the actors do a really solid job.
Yeah, good on them. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. It's very.
It does.
So,
Michael, you've eaten those words.
Look, I will watch some more.
If we all should disagree, no more Alex shows ever again.
Yeah, that's kind of.
He needs to put people in their place.
Yeah, we've got the fact checking, we've got the knowledge, we've got the recent reviews, yes. We've got. Yeah.
But just don't accidentally diss. The show that Alex was going to talk about.
okay, before you,
Michael, I audibly
by coincidence
when you're like, "I watched Jury Duty," and I'm like, "Oh, Michael's going to talk about it. Good, someone's going to talk about it." And then you go, "It's just not here," and I was just like,
"You're personally amazing. Offended."
I was, and I took that personally, as Michael Jordan would say.
before you and Chris jump into your chat, I did. Finally, watch one more thing.
What'd you watch?
I watched Paddington.
Hey!
Two? Just one, but two is on the very near horizon. I've worked my way. I've grinded her down, and I got Gemma to watch Paddington 1 with me.
Was it delightful?
I found it very delightful. I quite enjoyed that thing. Movie.
That thing.
And look, I found Paddington quite cute. Gemma was like, "It's a bit creepy." I'm like, "What the fuck do you mean?
What do you mean? It's Paddington Bear."
I know. But I was sitting there giggling my head off. I was smiling. Yep. I thought it was funny. I thought it was cool.
The cutest little bear.
It's a great
It's got
movie.
Such a tragic backstory.
It
I know.
It does. Like when they find the hat, I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
That's really sad.
Goddamn.
But I quite enjoyed it.
Braden, what have you been watching?
Oh, I've been watching a show that's been releasing weekly and is about to release its final episode this week. It is Star Wars, The Mandalorian season,
now,
whatever the fuck.
I said in our pre-show
that
I appreciate you talking all about Star Wars last week when I wasn't here.
Yeah.
Because I don't care at all.
Yeah, you're super duper over it. I'm in like a major Star Wars mood at the moment in the opposite.
Also, I'm slowly approaching that with Marvel now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club.
I feel like, that's
one of us.
But no, I just want to bring one thing to the table from the most recent Mandalorian episode, because I'm keen to see some reactions. Alex, if you can bring up the screen so that we can see your computer, so that all of us can see what you're looking at. If you can put it on something appropriate before you bring that screen up.
Okay, hang on.
So if we can get that.
Get a point.
I just want to get some reactions. So here now, if you can go to
these
Google,
are all the sessions of Mario.
If now, if everyone can be looking at Alex's screen, if you could please Google Mandalorian IG-12.
Pink TikToks.
Oh yes, I saw this on TikTok.
Yes. Now this is incredibly weird.
This.
Yeah.
He's got him into baby.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh.
So
does Grogu control him?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, you can look at this and you can think, okay, that's a wild direction for them to take. Grogu's not in his little baby pod anymore. He's in the corpse of IG-11.
So this is why we got IG-11 back, is it?
Yep.
This is not it.
Are you ready? Taika Waititi recorded 2 words of dialogue, and Grogu can press buttons to say either yes or no. And they use this in a very ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha comedic way.
Do they?
No. I was not a fan. It's a very extended sequence of when Baby Yoda finally, or Grogu, finally gets let into it. They leave the building.
Confirmed. Alex has only seen up to here to look at the green monster.
Yeah.
And there's an extended sequence where they're just walking through the market, and Grogu's just slamming on the yes button for what feels like a minute straight, and it's insufferable.
Where are we looking at?
Yeah, around there. So he gets in there and then, nope, go back further. Oh, you actually, yeah. So that's when he gets into it. And yeah, he can say yes or no.
This is a weird vibe.
It's really weird. It, honest to God, like, you know when you watch something and you're like, yeah, that feels like it was just, go back like 15 seconds. Yeah, you know when you see something and you feel like it's designed to sell like a toy?
Yes.
It's this.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, you don't want to hear it. It's insufferable. Oh, no.
A bit of a listen.
Oh, no. Here we go.
All right.
Why?
It also looks
it goes
really
on
weird.
For they so just long.
Have they left that place very much, Brayden? Because they were there the last time I watched, which was episode 1.
Yeah, I know. No, they have. They've actually done a lot of stuff with Mandalore, and that's the most interesting stuff that's going on.
Yeah,
we finally got fucking Giancarlo Esposito back as Moff Gideon, and they're doing some stuff there. But yeah, this is sort of the thing that's come away from this episode, and
you can tell Star Wars has taken the wrong direction when even Brayden is like, yeah, nah.
Well, yeah, like that's the thing from this episode. This with Grogu in IG's corpse, I couldn't care less for it. It's like, okay, that's just silly. It feels like it's designed to be like a moment, but like the stuff that's actually happening with like the Mandalorians like coming together under Bo-Katan, and she's leading them back to Mandalore, and then their discoveries that they're finding at Mandalore with all of Moff Gideon and all of his shit. That's all really interesting. But that's the thing that everyone's going to talk about from this week. Case in point, I just talked about it because I wanted you guys to see it.
What happened at the end of the episode?
Din Djarin gets captured and he's separated from Grogu. Grogu's hanging out with all the Mandalorians who are escaping because Moff Gideon is a fucking badass with all of his troopers. They bring the Praetorian guards back in from fucking Last Jedi, the red.
Oh, nice.
The red gang. Cool. And they're actually violent as all hell. And that's actually, it did them justice compared to, you know, the Batman Arkham Asylum fight with Kylo and Rey.
Someone I know rewatched Rise of Skywalker, who was like, no, it's great. Everyone's wrong. And they rewatched it. and they were like, nope, it's bad. Yeah. They're like, nope, it's very, very bad.
I don't think there's any like redeeming. Like, I remember,
man, the dagger that leads to the fucking map. It's a map, and you put it up against the Millennium Falcon. Not the Millennium, the Death Star.
Oh,
that's really lazy.
Yeah,
can you imagine? Yeah,
it perfectly it lines up. And
that's the moment where you can scarcely believe that this is the plot of the latest Star Wars film while you're watching it.
And you watch it. Like, no, to me, somehow Palpatine returns.
That's it starts off on the worst foot.
But it's that leading into this whole Indiana Jones-esque hunt. Like, ah, the artifact leads to this clue.
Did we talk about the new indie trailer?
This clue leads to this clue.
I will say as well, like...
And we already killed off Harrison Ford.
Star Wars are in this really interesting thing as well where they kind of... They like to... Well, I think Dave Filoni in general. He just really likes to take something from Star Wars that didn't work in the slightest and sort of try and rework it and work some stuff in to try and, like, explain it. Like, they're clearly leading up to some stuff with Moff Gideon and, like, cloning and the whole, like, from season one of Mandalorian where they were trying to get Grogu's DNA and stuff. Like, there's clearly some shit going on, and I feel like Dave Filoni is just trying to explain away the whole Emperor Returned clone thing. But
did we Brayden, to move it on to other Lucasfilm projects?
Yes.
Do we see this trailer for Indiana Jones, the new one?
No.
I've done a 180. I'm all on board. Give it to me. It looks incredible.
Oh.
Poster is fire.
I'll have to go check this out.
We were unsure if it's good or if it's stolen, possibly stolen the plot of a Wolfenstein game.
Yeah, I reckon from our trailer reaction. We were all very cautious about it.
Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen as a Nazi is probably the perfect casting you could ever
do. Quite excited for that.
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen as any villain is perfect. Yeah.
I can hear him doing time talking about time travel as a Nazi. That'd be great. Yeah.
We still don't know if it's about not time travel.
Oh, it's gonna be time travel. We've done aliens.
Destiny.
We did voodoo.
Yeah,
we did aliens.
To be fair, you hear like someone would be like, "Oh, the new Indiana Jones movie's about time travel," and they went, "Oh, wow, they've gone really weird with this one." And we could just be like, "Well,
go back to number two,
Kind of got an arc over there that literally releases a lot of things and melts your skin off.
Yeah.
We had a flying saucer in the last one. Voodoo happened, I guess.
Yep.
And, voodoo was a thing. Yeah.
We had the
cup of
God.
Holy Grail.
We had the Holy Grail.
Hey, look, everyone loves the Crusader at the end of the Holy Grail, right?
You chose poorly.
Poorly?
I'm excited. Dial of Destiny. Don't love the title, but. Love the trailer.
When are we getting
Dial of Destiny? It does
release?
Sound like
June 30th.
A Monkey Island.
Here's why I
adventure.
Have faith as well. They're premiering it at Cannes over 2 months before it comes out.
Oh,
which means
that's a big move.
They have a lot of faith in it.
Yeah, that's
because
wild.
Yeah.
And we've all said that the talent behind the camera is extraordinary. Mm. Now after coming off Indiana Jones, he's now going to be directing a Star Wars movie.
That he is.
James Mangold.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So
you know, it's not hard to get Indiana Jones wrong. It's got to be fun. Like like they were always corny. That's the thing. Same thing with Star Wars. Like, they weren't masterpieces. Like they're just corny fun movies.
I'm really excited to go back and rewatch all of the Indiana Jones movies before it comes out.
Yeah. How long have you recently?
I have recently watched. Them.
I did last year, I believe, and I. Temple of Doom's my favorite Indiana Jones movie, and I cop a lot of heat for it.
I'm fine with that.
I think the last hour of that movie feels like 10 minutes. It's such a ride, and I love voodoo and Monkey Man.
Yeah, shout out to Last Crusade, all my Last Crusade heads out there.
All my Last Crusaders out
there.
The
Indiana Jones
all my Last Crusaders out there.
Yeah. That's the Indiana Jones masterpiece. You got Sean Connery coming in. You got Nazis. You got the Crusader. You chose poorly. Come on.
So here's the thing. That's my third favorite, even though it's a 4.5 out of 5. I love Temple of Doom. I love Raiders. I love Crusade. Yes. We're just talking about it. Why did I forget his name for a second?
Last Crusade, yeah.
I really like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I think it's still a lot of fun.
I am very excited to go back to it soon.
Do you enjoy it, Chris?
I enjoyed it. In the cinema. The fridge scene had me a bit but yeah, I enjoyed the whole film. I was young still, you know.
Have you watched it since?
I genuinely don't think I've seen Kingdom or any really
Indiana
movies in like
Kingdom
10
again.
Years. So.
I like Shia. Shia's fine.
I like Shia.
Yeah.
We all got to watch Kingdom again. Kingdom, I think, is really underrated.
Sure.
Nazis. No, the Russians were the bad guys.
No, they bring in communists. Communists.
Yeah,
Who are, in real life, are actually Nazis as well.
I really thought that they were going to stray away from Nazis. I'm like, we did Russians in the last one. Who are we going to do in this one? And we're going back to Nazis.
They were like, not straight up.
Fascists. Just,
hey, it works. Gotta be fascists. It works.
It's always good to watch someone punch a Nazi.
If I know you're it's my favorite, but were there Nazis? Scary, oppressive government, they are the go-to.
There wasn't Nazis in Temple, was there? That was just voodoo.
Just voodoo people
with child,
terrorizing
with
a village.
Child labor. With
was
child
there, there was some kind of warlord business going on.
Yeah, and they were using children to mine rock.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you could say there's some kind of like dictatorship China thing going on there. Who knows? Yeah, here first.
Chris, I've been watching a show this week.
Get into it.
The new show. We're all here to talk about it.
We're all here. Everyone, grab a cup and listen to Alex and Christian talk about
The White Lotus.
I'm just gonna lean back for a second.
Oh no! I just thought, quick mention. I've been watching The White Lotus.
Is it good?
Yeah. What is that like?
It's funny. It's a bit mysterious. You kind of don't know what's going on. There's something deeper here, but what's happening? You know,
it's anthology, I believe. Each season's a new story.
Yeah, so I'm not up to season two yet, but that's what I've heard. There's only one character which persists. So, yeah. I'm excited to see where that goes. Season one, some lovable faces coming up. It's like Jennifer Coolidge. Who's the old, like, Stifler's mum, American Pie.
Yeah.
We love Stifler's mum.
She's brilliant. She's brilliant. Like, so good to see her actually, like, acting. Like, not just this kind of ridiculous side character with the same line over and over again. Mm. And someone from The Last of Us, which stole our hearts.
Pedro.
Murray Bartlett.
No, not Pedro.
No, not Pedro. He played... What, the Ron Swanson's man?
Yes, played Bill's
partner. What is his name? Don't know his
Frank.
Name in The Last
Frank.
Of Us.
Frank,
that's it. So he's in this, and he's really good.
Very different character.
Very different character. It's cool to see him as in a cool situation, not in a post apocalypse. But yeah, that's. Check that one out. Now.
So I was sick last week, and I was like, I'm going to watch so many movies. And I watched Creed 3 again, and I was like, because that came out in VOD. So I watched that again. Really good. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to watch all these other movies. No, I'm not. I'm going to watch Succession. I'm going to devolve every spare moment of my time in the last week to watching this show that I can't get enough of.
Now, was it hearing about the latest episodes?
Hearing that the episode 4 of this season, so last week's episode, it literally is rivaling such episodes as Ozymandias in Breaking Bad.
Got a 10 yeah. Sitting on a 10 IMDb.
I think they might have bumped it down a peg now to 9.9, which is still extremely high. Not many shows, I think maybe only one show has got a 10
episode. And I will confirm. Yes, some of the greatest television I've ever seen. The actors all are doing themselves a masterclass. Like, it's brilliant.
I just wish I didn't see the title of the episode. Now I know Connor's marrying Willa, I guess.
Yes, yes. Connor's wedding is the title of the episode.
Yeah. That's talk about Succession.
Yeah.
if Brayden,
what have
you
guys
didn't,
been doing?
Brayden, if you didn't hate rich people already,
yeah.
This is the show for you.
Yeah.
There is a scene in the second season where he's trying to sniff out a rat, and he plays a game called Boar on the Floor, where he literally takes all the people he suspects are their rats, and he makes them go on the ground and oink for food, and he makes all the other people feed. Yeah, it's real rich people shit.
Jesus.
Which was incredible. The acting, Chris isn't wrong about acting. There is just some of the best acting in general I've ever seen in the show. I want to talk about Jeremy Strong, who can, every episode I'm like, oh, he's peaked. He's like, end of season one, he has a scene where he's absolutely incredible in. And then throughout season two, he's just got like 10 more of them. And yeah, he constantly
finished season two as well.
I finished season two now.
Ah, yes.
So yeah, that was, we got a whole season of kind of like a placid, Kendall, and then Kendall no longer placid at the end. Can we spoil season two? We can spoil season two, right?
That was like years ago, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah. Unless these two are going to watch it, sure.
It's not high on Mikaela and I's to watch list. Sorry.
Yeah, there's definitely things that I would maybe one day get around to it, but I got
Mikaela and I probably just forget about it. Got around to watching the first episode of season two of Only Murders in the Building.
So when we go into season one, Kendall is very much the golden child. He's the one set up to take over. So really season one is that not working out for him and him having to deal with that. And
And then something happens to him at the end of season one, and what's his name? Logan, which is Brian Cox, who obviously is like the Rupert Murdoch. The Rupert Murdoch.
Patriarch.
you know, he kind of takes what happened, uses it to his advantage to kind of regain control of his son. Because his son was going to stage a hostile takeover against the family.
Yeah.
So he finds out what's happened here, and he uses that to kind of essentially blackmail him into being his lapdog again.
Mm.
And so season two, we get Kendall being
little
a lapdog.
Little boy Kendall,
little
shell Kendall.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the range of Jeremy Strong comes through. Like,
yeah, he's so good.
Playing the broken man, and then there's a lot of interactions with his wife's character, his ex-wife.
She disappears for like a lot of the second half of the season two.
Yeah, but there is so much just in his expressions and his delivery. You can see the insecurities and the putting on a face, and like there's acting within the acting, which is always
there's one good moment that I really loved. I can't remember exactly what episode was it. It was Roman, who is played by Kieran Culkin, who was incredible as well. And he's just a real piece of shit.
he's the third brother trying to get in, you know, never taken seriously.
There's a moment in season one where he kind of pushes for a rocket launch, like really pushes it to bring it above, like skipping safety
about
things.
This.
And like really, because he wants it to be on the same day as his sister's wedding. He wants a successful rocket launch to go off and it'd be
like an actual satellite launch. Like one of his, the company that they own is launching a satellite.
Yeah.
And it blows up.
Because he forced it.
Because he forced it. And then like he's the whole time of the wedding, he's like, oh my God, how many people did I just kill? And then they come, they come back to him at one point and they go, hey, no one died. Maybe engineers lost a couple of thumbs. And he just goes, he says to one of the people, he goes, guess he just didn't kill anyone and maybe lost a couple thumbs. This guy. So good. So there's a moment where he says something to, like just being the smart ass he is. He says something to Logan and Logan turns around and he slaps him in the mouth. And then Kendall just steps in and says, like, really defends and like almost like a mama bear to Roman and says, don't you fucking touch him, which I didn't expect.
Mm, and even the response from Roman in that scene, there's so much body language and like everything on display. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, and then it really, cause it, a lot of the last episode of season two is there was a scandal in the, because they own everything. So in the cruise ship department of the Empire, there was a real big scandal of someone sexually assaulting women and them paying the women off. And and I think one of them killed themselves by jumping overboard. And so
allegedly.
And so this comes to light, and they all, the whole family sits down and says, someone needs to be the fall guy for this, because they've clearly got evidence of us covering everything up. And the whole episode's just them on their yacht discussing which one of the heavy hitters around the table is going to be the person who takes the fall for it.
Who's going to go to prison, basically.
Yeah. And they decide on Kendall in the end. Shiv's a bitch.
Whoa.
I hate her, man. And she's the one that wanted Kendall to go down for it. But when they suggest Kendall, like, Roman goes, no, why Kendall? I don't know. I feel like I'm hoping their relationship gets explored more throughout the show. Because it really seems like those two are the only siblings that kind of have a connection, or like, we'll kind of be like, we'll talk shit to each other, but at the end of the day, we're like here for each other.
The only ones that are actually acting like a family.
Except, yeah. There's the outsider. There's Connor, which is a great character.
He's played by the guy that plays Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
This is the older brother who's not really in line for the succession, because he's just taken his money and he's just living his life. He's got a trophy wife.
Just bounced,
and he wants to be president. And it's fantastic.
God damn,
because he's the most out of touch human being in existence,
which apparently is what makes a good president. So
and there's a lot of jokes along these lines in the show. It's pretty good. Like, one of the best moments is he starts having a political debate with a fellow intellectual, but then because it's like a guy who's taking him seriously because he's rich, he then brings him on, and then he's like his running mate. just because it's like someone interested in politics that will speak to him.
Wow. Amazing.
We haven't spoken about Tom and Greg.
Tom and Greg.
So, Chris, I imagine Tom's your favorite character.
Yeah, fans of Pride and Prejudice. Anyone?
Wow,
Mr. Darcy. Actor. What's his name?
I've never seen him before. I've never seen Pride and Prejudice.
Man, watch Pride and Prejudice. I love Pride and Prejudice.
Is that another Keira Knightley one?
Yes.
Okay.
And
I said the wrong actress.
Matthew McFadden and Keira Knightley.
I said Natalie Portman. I said the wrong actress.
They look like a lot alike.
Just as beautiful.
Star Wars agrees, Brayden, that they look a lot alike.
Yeah, funny that.
Yes, they do.
Anyway, so
Matthew McFadden plays Tom, Shiv's husband, I should say, who's very much loves Shiv. And does Shiv love him? We don't know.
That's
a bit of a trophy husband.
That's something I love about the show so much, is that, you know, in all, like, Tom and Shiv's relationship, you just expect Tom just to be there because she's his lifeline. Like, if he's not married to her, he's not in the business, he doesn't have any connections, he's out. But, like, he genuinely also just seems like he loves her. Like, she proposes an open relationship. This is one of my favorite things that happened in the show so far.
Yeah.
Is that she like goes, we'll have an open relationship. He clearly not on board with her.
There
but he
are
loves
so
her.
Many gut punches to Tom that we have to witness and feel alongside him in this show. And
now,
yeah.
It mirrors a scene that happens later where Greg also says to Tom that he wants to, like, because they're kind of like, Tom kind of takes Greg under his wing and brings him into the cruise ship department. And Greg's like, comes up to Tom one day, he goes, oh, I kind of want to, like, move to a different department, but, like, you know, we'll still be, you know, like, close, and I just want to explore other things.
Yeah.
And it's clearly just Tom reliving this moment of the open relationship, and he's just so offended and just starts throwing bottles at him.
Oh my God. I mean, like, it's really Shiv that he's...
Yeah, which is great. So Kendall's my favorite, just because Jeremy Strong's probably the best actor I know working today now after watching this show. Jeremy Strong's also in a number of movies that had no idea it was him because he is a chameleon.
I couldn't believe when you mentioned this to me.
He was in, I'm not sure if anyone here has seen Trial of Chicago 7.
No.
Not yet.
Okay. He plays a character, a hippie character in that, which you just wouldn't recognize at all when you
watch I can't believe, because I love the Trial of the Chicago 7. That's a movie see all
this
the time.
Dude's in Gentleman, isn't he?
He's also in The Gentleman, yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. It is who I'm thinking of then.
Yeah, great in The Gentleman as well. Yeah, he's a chameleon. He's one of the best actors working.
He's in The Big Short. He's one of the bankers, yeah.
He's in everything. And I hope to see him in more things now that Succession's wrapping up. But everyone should watch this. It's awesome.
Very nice.
And I like Greg a lot. I also really like Greg.
Yep. So this the season 2 ending you liked?
Did you get my message? Where I was just like... I can tell, because the ending of season 2 is obviously they propose Kendall. Kendall's going to be the fool guy. Mm. And Kendall goes up to make the announcement that he's going to be the fool guy. And then suddenly he kind of just tells the truth.
There's a big scene where his father tells him that he's not a killer.
Yeah, and that's when...
So he goes out and he kills, he cuts throats.
That's the moment I went, Kendall made the decision to do this. Was when his dad said, you're not a killer, which is why I never took you seriously as being someone who could take over the business.
Yep. And then there's a brilliant moment of Logan where before he shows his anger for Kendall going against the family, he cracks a smile because he's proud of his son for the first time. And if I haven't convinced you to go watch this show, go watch this show.
Damn.
I when I saw him smirk, I went, this movie knows what it's doing. The show knows what it's doing.
He's proud of him. Because
I've also done a 180 on the score. I now listen to the entirety of the credits, opening credits.
I told you. Alex said the score was getting annoying. We love the score, Alex.
The only reason it got annoying was that when I was watching season 1, I noticed that they used it all the fucking time throughout the episodes.
During the show, yeah.
Yeah. And they don't do it in season 2 as much. Which is every time now I watch the opening, I go, it's back, here it is. you know, they kind of made me depend on it, and now they took it away from me, so now I get to listen. And I listen to the opening credits every episode, because it's great.
Nice.
Love the show.
Yeah, there is also another TV show that you checked out, Alex. We were watching a little bit of started the show. Quick shout out to Australian local lads.
Auntie Donna's Coffee Cafe.
Over on ABC.
Is that free? Out?
Free to watch an ABC iView.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Christian, do you like Big Old House of Fun?
Yeah, I love Auntie Donna. I've been meaning to get on this. I didn't know it was available yet.
Did you go see their live show?
No.
Okay. They take the funniest skit from the live show and they put it in this show. I showed Michael and Brayden before. I won't tell you what it is.
It was funny.
It had me laughing real good. So I like when Auntie Donna are taking themselves, like they're acting overly serious in a silly manner. And that's sort of like my favorite. Like I enjoy the silliness of like Pud, but like I find some of their stuff to be a little bit too out there. But yeah, this one scene was just. Mwah.
Six episodes, all great. They're top tier, Auntie Donna. Yeah. Episode 2 is fantastic. Episode 4 is fantastic.
Very nice. And I think
there's one more show.
There's one more show.
Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Teddy Lasso.
Chris, are you up to date with Ted Lasso?
I am. I am completely up to date.
Okay. Oh. Awesome. What are you thinking?
Yeah. What are you thinking up to this point? Yeah.
Got
the source right.
I like the show. I love the show.
Good.
No, Christian, give me
some new faces we like.
Well, one of them left this week.
Sorry?
We lost one of them this week.
We did. A strange way that these last two episodes have went.
Yeah.
Some weird moments. There was the way their loss happened with all the red cards. It was a bit like, whoa, okay, this is a bit weird.
Well, I don't think that's weird. That's like, you know, that sign held a lot, and they figured out that it was
it did. And then of course, sudden leaving of Zava,
which we all knew was going to happen.
Which, honestly, I was like, they're not keeping this joke up for the entire time, because he's very much a one joke Charlie. Yeah.
They got as much as they could out of him, and they got rid of him at the right time.
Yeah.
Yep. And he had his kind of influx. Like he's got Jamie Tart ready to go and gearing up.
Well, that's what now we get to see Jamie take over and be the guy.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited for.
Me too.
And I'm very excited for this episode this week.
I want to say that Ted's monologue in the locker room was probably the best of the entire show, in my opinion.
The belief one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he rips up the belief sign even more. Yeah.
I thought that was a fantastic monologue.
Yeah, no, they still nailed the writing and everything about the show. Excited. They definitely are redeeming Nate.
Yes. Nate's date. Loved it. It's so wholesome. I'm just smiling the whole time.
And the thing is, like, it's such a, like, that whole, like, sequence is, like, such a callback to, like, season one. Like, when you first get the scene in the restaurant, like.
But they've been redeeming him since, really, the episode, the match with the.
Yeah, because he goes to apologize. He goes to say something. And you can see
him, like.
Every time we see inside of his side.
Yeah.
Every time Nate does something, he goes to do something right, Rupert's there to interject.
Yeah.
And keep him in line. I really think everyone thought that they would never be able to redeem Nate. I think that they're doing it quite well at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see them all take on Rupert. Because Rupert's the main bad guy. Even Vader turned against Palpatine at one point, so
exactly. That would
it's
be
Star
Nate.
Wars. It's Star Wars.
There are just so many moments in these new episodes that laugh out loud funny, and like think in my head, I find myself thinking about them and laughing about them. Roy Kent and Coach Beard's plan to verse Nate on the whiteboard. Nate's false nine. I lose it every time.
Oh, and then it's like, then he's going to be expecting us to do this. So then we'll do this.
Yeah.
Wait, the perfect solution is run Nate's false nine.
I love it.
Roy talking about beating the bully.
Oh, yes. My God. Funniest moment in the entire show. It was so unexpected. I didn't.
Soak it with paint.
Confuses the blood with his own paint with his own blood.
So you start hitting you again.
You start and laughing.
You beat him
long
again.
And as loud as you can.
And what is perfect at that is Trent dropping the coffee mug.
Yes. That was out of nowhere. That is like my favorite moment of the whole show. I don't know where that came from.
The dynamic of them as the coach, like they go to do like the monkey noises, and you think Roy's just gonna look at him weirdly. Then he starts joining in by beating his chest, and making gorilla noises. Like he's fucking hilarious.
It's so Roy's on great. Point. Like everything that they've homed in is great. Like the diamond dogs, all the little interactions. Oh, I love it.
But like, is this not the Emperor? Is this just not him? Yes.
It is the Emperor and Darth Vader right there.
He's running around in that trench coat an awful lot lately.
Yeah. Mm. And like even his office, if I can, let me find a shot.
Find a shot of that office. Nate goes to that car and he's just standing in the circle window.
He does have the master vibe.
From Doctor Who. Oh my gosh.
The evil Time Lord.
Yeah.
The evil goatee coined by the master. Yeah.
Let me find his office.
Goddamn.
And even just like with character, but like you can see like the internal conflict in Ted as well. Like it's all great. Like
so many wholesome bits already. Ted dealing with his panic attacks.
Like
there's so many like real life.
Oh my god, look at it. It's just straight up.
He is the Emperor.
That's just the Death Star too. Like,
yeah.
What am I looking at here? This is ridiculous.
Even the chair. Look at the chair.
Oh, it really is.
Oh my god.
But there's attention to like mental health, like, you know, awareness like, and stuff. Yeah, like even with Ted and his panic attacks, everything.
you even have like the little details of him, like him starting to freak out because the other dudes with this, like obviously getting to father his
so fuck this guy, right?
Yeah, it's just so heartbreaking. Oh, this show, so Brayden, is fantastic.
Alex, can you please refresh our videos? My God.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Brayden, this man's wife is dating the marriage counselor that failed to keep them together.
Incredible.
And he finds out when he calls the house and he answers. And it's like, oh Dr. Joseph or whatever. Why are you at my home? Like, my marriage counselor. Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
What a guy. What a guy.
God damn.
It's just, you know.
It's borderline unethical.
Funny that.
Yeah. Okay, I was trying to find a clip of the outside when he's looking at him through the office window, but it doesn't exist.
That is, yeah, that is just the emperor.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. God damn.
Oh, God. Ted Lasso. People, we love it.
Fantastic.
Yep, we love it. We hate Shandy. Glad Shandy's gone.
Oh, thank God she's gone.
She was annoying.
She was also a one-joke person.
Yeah, and again, it was just like, okay, I get it. Keely's kind of learning a lesson about being a serious businesswoman and not like bringing just her friends in. But it's like, I feel like she's serious enough. She has her own firm. I feel like she would have got rid of her quicker.
It's more her, not that she's serious, it's more her playing into like, she doesn't want to be hated. And she just likes being like the real nice person that she likes.
I just got it. She doesn't want to be Rebecca. That's the only, that's why. Okay, never mind. I just missed a big beat.
Her relationship with Jack got very interesting.
Yes.
Jack's a female, by the way, Brayden. So I'm not sure if we ever had confirmation that she was bisexual before.
No.
Now we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, my pride.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very nice. And they're both very attractive, so that was a treat for the eyes.
It was. Let's get Rebecca in there.
Let's get Bex in there. I love Rebecca's character arc this season, what eventually where it's going to go to. Because when she runs into the newest episode and she just berates Ted. And then they turn into the joke about where North is.
One of the newer guys, Van Damme, he's calling himself Van Damme now. Yeah. He has a moment. When they have the confusion when he walks in to give the announcement about Trent Crim writing the novel and the players are like all jumping around and it ends with him going, why is Trent Crim writing a novel about Zava? And like, I just it's so good. I think about that at work and laugh to myself. Like,
yeah, it's good.
Such a good show.
It's a good
show. New episode tomorrow.
Last episode, you say?
No, new episode. No,
new episode.
No,
don't scare me.
Are we getting 12 episodes or 10?
We got 12 episodes this season, fellas.
God damn.
They wrote for 12 too, so.
Nice.
No more beard episodes.
No more beard episodes, so get excited.
They stepped up the on-pitch footage as well. Like, full soccer gameplay going on. Like, wide
Isn't
shots
it great?
Of it as well.
Yeah. Oh, in season one, you can tell that it's like,
the budget for the like soccer shots we're not there, but they clearly are now because there's full-on sequences and plays and
isn't it great that this week after the episode this week we've got still half a season left.
It is great.
Yes.
So yeah, we're losing Zava and we still got half a season to go, so
I was going to make his avocado farm.
It's going to make his avocado farm.
Because he doesn't use avocados.
if you, they really know what they're doing. Each player's got a official Twitter page, and Sam's got one. And I saw Sam's posted the other day. It goes, I went to Zava's for Easter, and the kids were having an avocado hunt, not an Easter egg hunt.
saw a brilliant thing arise from this because obviously HBO is doing a new Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And someone had the gall to suggest that Roy Kent would be a brilliant Harry Potter.
He's here. He's there. He's everywhere.
And if you can imagine, can we see the scar? No.
No, it's not even that. It's just a grunt.
Voldemort's back. Fuck.
he dresses exactly like Roy Kent as well, because he talks about it. He goes, I learned very early that you can't look bad in a black t-shirt. So he just always wears a black t-shirt. You look at him in real life, Brett Goldstein, he plays Roy Kent, and he's always wearing a black t-shirt. And he went out for Halloween to some pub with his like friends, and it looked like he was cosplaying as Roy Kent. He's like, I must look like the biggest dickhead. He's like, this is just me. So he's great to watch in interviews because he's just Roy Kent.
I think with that, we've had wonderful 200th episode of MMT Millennial Movie Talk. Thank you all so much for joining us.
What a special episode that we did this week, guys.
An incredibly special episode. You guys got a whole extra, like, 10 minutes or something.
We laughed, we cried, we cried, and we laughed.
Much like actual the show itself, Chris joined in about a third of the way. Just like the actual show. So that was just, it tonally worked.
Totally
worked. And don't worry, you can look forward to plenty more episodes of this coming every single week over on YouTube and on your podcast service of choice. So go subscribe and follow us over there. Leave a review if you can. It'd be really nice because it really helps. And hey, you know what? Maybe episode 201 is going to be an absolute banger. So maybe, you know, tell your friends. You never know.
Hopefully I'll be done with Succession. I did two seasons in a week. Maybe I'll do the next two.
God damn.
How big are the episodes? Seasons?
Ten episodes, hour each.
Yeah. Fair.
God damn.
Perfect, by the way. It's perfect.
Well, you'll fly through Succession. I'll continue flying through the Star Wars animated shows, and we'll come back next week and we'll see.
Yeah. You do that. And I wish you luck.
Thank you. Rebels is pretty good.
That'd be my nightmare.
End of Clone Wars is legitimately really good. I'll end on that. You should just watch that because it goes alongside Revenge of the Sith.
It's the only ones I've watched, by the way. I've seen the end of the Clone Wars.
Yeah, it's
all
the best.
Darth Maul stuff.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
Anyway, as always,
I'm Alex.
I'm Braden.
I'm Christian.
And I'm Michael.
And we're nailing this. Goodbye, everyone. Uh-oh. I accidentally clicked the Twitter button. I don't know what's about to go. I don't know what's... Yeah, we've just posted a tweet.
Amazing.
Which we haven't done in a long time. Where is it? Let me find the tweet. Did we post one? We did, just then, 25 seconds ago. Episode 166.
Wow, it's been a while since we've used the Twitter button, hey?
Oh, I've clearly pressed this more than once by accident.
Oh my God.
Our last three tweets are the same.
How long a difference between them?
January 8th, and then before that, August 2nd, and then just then.
Incredible. Oh, that's so good.